Lots going down over the weekend in the NFL that could have some impact on the 49ers. Talk a little bit about the Deshaun Watson fallout now at Cleveland Brown and what that means for the Jimmy Garoppolo trade market with Baker Mayfield out there as well. Charvarius Ward's contract details are in. More notes on one of the newest 49ers, Ray McCloud, and special teams demon George Odom. A lot on special teams on today's Locked On 49ers coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Man, Croc, it was a crazy weekend. The old switcheroo that Deshaun Watson pulled, thought Cleveland was out of it, thought he was going to Atlanta. Everyone's trying to get him over to go back home in Atlanta. Maybe he's the Saints that were going to win it with Deshaun Watson. He ends up with the Cleveland Browns, Croc. And Baker Mayfield had already requested a trade, which might have been the catalyst to the Browns going back to Watson, caving on like everything contractually, even with all the stuff Deshaun Watson's going through. I mean, the sexual assault allegations and the civil suit that's upcoming. And man, they bent over backwards. They did everything they could for Deshaun Watson. $230 million guaranteed. Put his first year contract at $1 million. So if he gets suspended without pay for the season, it's not going to hurt him in the pocketbook. If it felt a little greasy, what went on there? A lot with the Browns. And I mean, look, it's crazy because Browns fans have been through so much in their lives following the Browns, all the losing for decades. And this, getting the best quarterback talent-wise that they've had that entire time, is what's sending some Browns fans looking for a new team to root for. So this is crazy. And then the league's going to be mad at the Browns because they're trying to circumvent the fine. And if he does get suspended, which I assume he will for at least, I don't know, 6 games, 4 games, 17 games, who knows what it'll be for Deshaun Watson. A lot still to play out there. And then other agents of other quarterbacks are like, great, now every quarterback's going to ask for fully guaranteed contracts. But to be honest with you, the guaranteed contract stuff doesn't really matter that much, because if you're a top NFL quarterback, you're going to see the end of your deal anyway. It's not like people are cutting Aaron Rodgers and cutting Matthew Stafford. So that really doesn't even matter that much. But putting that $1 million salary in year one to try to circumvent the suspensions, man, and then with everything else, Feels a little wrong. Feels a little wrong with Deshaun Watson right now.
You left off a quarterback that, the team won't cut, so he'll see the end of his contract. Jimmy Garoppolo. You named Aaron Rodgers. You named some of these other guys, but you forgot to name Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Will he see the end of his contract with the 49ers?
He might.
We had high doubts about it. But as of right now, and you talk about, you got Deshaun Watson going to the Cleveland Browns. Well, that's a snowball trickle effect. That's another domino. And now you got Baker Mayfield. He has to go somewhere. Where does he go? I did see something about Seattle inquiring about him. But does he somehow go to either the Saints or the Indianapolis Colts? And if so, what does that mean for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I have seen that the Seahawks and the Colts have been in talks and in contact with the Browns, and reportedly multiple people have reported that the Browns are asking for a 2 or 3, a day 2 pick essentially for Baker Mayfield. Which, and look, I don't know how the Jimmy Garoppolo thing hadn't already concluded, and I don't see how the Baker Mayfield thing hasn't concluded already. Like a third round pick to the Seahawks seems like nothing for what we've seen from Baker Mayfield in 2020 before he had, a really injury marred 2021 season. What you could potentially have there in a look, and Baker Mayfield's not perfect, just like Jimmy Garoppolo. I've seen a lot of people argue that because I said that Baker Mayfield now goes to the front of the line for someone who's going to get traded even before Jimmy Garoppolo, and people get mad because it's like, oh, Jimmy's way better than Baker Mayfield. And some teams might feel that way. Some teams might not. But according to reports, the teams are talking to Baker right now, and the talks about Jimmy Garoppolo have already happened. So Jimmy Garoppolo, there hasn't been a peep about him even since this, which is surprising to me because I thought this would start the Watson thing would get the Jimmy G thing going again. And it really hasn't happened. Like, I haven't heard anything, Croc. Have you heard a peep about anybody? Oh, yeah, they're checking back in on Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo might be headed to this destination. I've really not heard anything about that at all.
Nothing at all. And it's funny. I'm driving back. I was just at a tournament out in, where was I? In the Bay Area. Morgan Hill? Right outside of San Jose?
Yeah,
and Morgan Hill. So I'm at this tournament. And we're driving back. I'm with my brother. And we're talking about it. He's a big-time Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And he says, "When I have two brothers, one that's a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, the other one's Steelers fan. Well, the Steelers fan, he says.
The Steelers fan is Angry Donald, right?
Angry Donald Camp. Yeah. Hashtag Angry Donald Camp. Yeah. So Donald, and he's not technically my brother, just best friends. We're best friends. I mean, we've been down since middle school, since we were, you know, 11, 12 years old or whatever. But so I'm asking him, I'm like, dude, you know, nobody wants him. And he's like, well, when does the alarm kind of start going off in your head where you start to panic a little bit that y'all might not be able to move them? And I'm like, well, it's kind of already going off because in my head, and what I try to do, I think a lot of people, especially fans, they let the emotional aspect of it kind of, you know, sway their kind of decision-making and things like that. I try to look at everything from a player's perspective and coach's perspective. So from that standpoint, it's kind of hard to see a scenario that's ideal for someone else to take on Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. Now, that's not to say a team won't. It's not to say something won't happen. But there's not a lot of openings like there were early on where all these teams could be interested in them. You have really two spots, the Saints and the Colts. And one of those spots might be filled by Baker Mayfield if he doesn't go to the Seahawks. So you got one team, and you got to hope and pray that that team is desperate enough to get you. But one thing that my brother said that was interesting, he hasn't been to a Steelers fan, but he's been a Steelers game, but he's been to a few 49ers games with me. And his thing is, man, E, every time I've been to a game with you, with Jimmy Garoppolo playing, the 49ers have won. Now, I know, but I asked the question, would you want your Pittsburgh Steelers to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? And his answer was no. And I'm like, well, there it is. And he explained why. I'm like, well, you know, you could talk about, you know, the offense that Pittsburgh has had, throwing the ball down the field, playing more big ball, but and that not being what Jimmy is, but you can't tailor your offense. Well, no, I think the 49ers and what they do is more ideal for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm like, dude, that's not the ideal offense for Kyle Shanahan. That isn't the offense that Kyle Shanahan has constructed to fit the strengths of Jimmy Garoppolo, as any good offensive coordinator should do. And Kyle has done that. But that's not 100% what he wants to do. And it seems like with Jimmy Garoppolo and whatever he does, other teams aren't rushing to do it either, whether it's because of the injury or just because of really kind of how he looked late in the year.
I do feel like there's a bit of a standoff situation, especially when it comes to the Colts and John Lynch not backing down from what he's asking for Jimmy Garoppolo, carrying him into the new league year, talking about keeping him as long as it takes, really. And I guess I wouldn't be surprised at this point if he's still on the team after the draft, although maybe the draft is the next turning point where teams don't draft the player and then are forced into something like, okay, we got to go get a quarterback now. Maybe somebody's quarterback gets hurt. You know, that's one of the things too with Jimmy G is like, look, okay, shoulder, if shoulder's holding it up, wait until July. If a team didn't draft a guy, they've got bad quarterbacks, or one of the quarterbacks gets hurt. Now it's July. Training camp hasn't started yet. Jimmy's throwing. He's healthy. Team needs quarterback. Maybe it has to go all the way to that point for Jimmy Garoppolo to get traded. But what I find interesting is Chris Ballard's a really good GM for the Colts, and he did a really good job swindling the Washington Commanders for all those picks for Carson Wentz, even though everybody knew they had to get rid of him. So I feel like there's a standoff where John Lynch doesn't want to back down from what he's asking. And maybe Garoppolo would be a really good fit for the Colts, but Chris Ballard doesn't want to up his offer for what he's offering for Jimmy Garoppolo. Because if Ballard wanted to go in another direction, he already would have. Watson thing's done.
Right.
So he's either trying to get Baker Mayfield or he's waiting on something, because he didn't go out and just rush out and sign Marcus Mariota once Watson told them no, or once the Houston Texans told them no, didn't want to trade him in the division. And the same thing with the Saints. Jameis Winston's there. Sign his ass. They haven't done that yet. So clearly they're trying to check out some other options, right? So that makes me think that there's still a possibility with one of those teams. Why haven't the Colts? They don't have a quarterback right now at all. And they don't seem to care about it. It's kind of crazy. And they don't have a first round pick. It's not like they're just like, oh, we're going to go draft Malik Willis. They can't do that either. So what are the Colts doing? Are they just not backing down from what they want to offer? Are they going to try to go hard after Mayfield? Then Mayfield goes away. Then they'll make a decision. It'll be Mariota, or it'll be Winston, or it'll be Garoppolo at that point. And the Saints, it seemed obvious that the Saints and Winston were a match, right? But if they haven't gone out and signed Winston yet, are they trying for Garoppolo still? Are they trying for Baker Mayfield? Does the Mayfield thing have to happen first? Then the Garoppolo thing can happen? So I don't know. It's really weird, because it would make more sense that nobody's interested in Garoppolo if those teams did something else, but they haven't done that either. So I don't know what the hell to think.
And I don't either. And it's a tough scenario, I think, for everyone, but maybe it's just a waiting game. And maybe everyone involved just needs to be more patient and let it play out. But I do know that there are a lot of fans that are like, well, the organization knows what they're doing. And I feel like, no, they don't, by how this has played out. Now, maybe they eventually get something just because the team gets desperate. But at right now, the 49ers are at other teams' mercy, as opposed to being the other way around.
All right. I want to talk a little free agency next, Croc, about how many resources the 49ers are putting into their special teams. In particular, George Odom. I don't know if you have any thoughts on former Colts safety George Odom that the 49ers signed to a 3-year, $10 million contract. And we both have some connections to some folks that are fans of, or cover, in my case, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so we'll have to go back to Angry Donald's comments on former Steeler Ray McLeod coming up. But first, I'd like to tell the folks out there about Built Bar. It's super easy. All you do is, when you want a treat, you put Built Bar in all those spots that all of your treats are hiding in. You know the spots. They're in your desk at work. They're in your glove box in your car. They're in your pantry at home. They're hidden underneath, in a drawer under the socks or something, so nobody else can find where your treats are, so you can go for that snack. Built Bars are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You will feel good about eating a Built Bar because they taste so delicious, but they're low in calorie, low in sugar, low in net carbs, and high in protein, so you also feel good that you ate a healthy snack and you reached for that Built Bar instead of something that could really derail your diet. They got the new Built Bar Puffs out there. Churro Puff, Coconut Marshmallow, Banana Cream Pie, all the classic flavors of Built Bars. My favorite is the peanut butter. Croc likes the cookies and cream. And there's always new flavors coming up all the time at Built.com. So go try them for yourself. And if you're not sure what flavor you want, go get a mixed box of Built Bars. Just go to Built.com and you can get 15% off by using our promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at Built.com. I want to say thanks again for everybody making Locked On 49ers your first listen of the day. If you're an NHL fan, the NHL trade deadline is on the way, and Locked On has over 20 NHL shows going live for you at the deadline, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, but you might want to check in a little bit early so you don't miss any of the deadline action in the NFL. Find your favorite NHL teams like Locked On Sharks podcast on YouTube for that live NHL trade deadline action. All right, Croc. I asked my guy, Matt Williamson, that I do a podcast with every day here, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, talking about the entire league. And he covers the Steelers. He lives in Pittsburgh. He does a radio show about the Steelers every single day. I asked him about Ray McLeod. What are we looking at here? Was that a good signing for the 49ers? And his response was, well, I was just kind of glad that the Steelers did not re-sign him. So that was the sentiment from Matt Williamson. And I asked him why. And he said, well, basically it's because they used him too much. He got the ball too much on offense, and he shouldn't be a featured part of an NFL offense. And that's what Matt Williamson didn't like about it. And it kind of fit with Ben Roethlisberger's noodle arm at this point in his career. And, you know, everything he caught was within a yard of the line of scrimmage, gadget plays, handing him the ball, and some of those things using his athleticism. You know, he's basically a kick return, a punt return on offense is how he was utilized. in that offense in Pittsburgh. But he ended up catching a career high, I think it was 39 catches or something last year for Pittsburgh. Yeah. Basically, Williamson's like, he shouldn't be used that much and featured on an NFL offense. So that's why he wasn't sad to see him go. He didn't think he was necessarily a game-breaking return man, but he was okay. You know, some fumbles in his career, but I think he's overcome some of that. But, you know, pretty good after the catch, not necessarily physical or going to block for you on offense too much, but, you know, explosive and is a return man. So Matt Williamson, for one, was not super impressed by the 49ers signing Ray McLeod to fix their return game. Clearly, the 49ers wanted to spend resources on special teams. They've done it with multiple different players, including Ray McLeod, Oren Burks, George Odom, who we'll talk about in a second. But what was Angry Donald's scouting report on Ray McLeod? As I think we were talked a little bit about it off the air, it was somewhat similar, right?
Yeah, he didn't really have anything positive to say about him. It was just like, okay, you know, that type of thing where you see a lot of 49ers fans, they get excited. People show a few highlights and a few clips, and it's like, oh, this is what you're getting. And obviously with the 49ers, I think more importantly, it's the special teams aspect of it. Now, I hear Williamson say, like, it's not like he's a game breaker or anything like that, but, you know, if he can just average 9-10 yards per return and maybe also be a kickoff returner, I think that would be beneficial for the 49ers. I mean, it was clear that the weakest unit on the 49ers was special teams. So if they can get better anyway, whether it was, you know, going after a guy like, you know, him and maybe kind of bolstering up that return game, but also signing someone who's a big part of, or at least was with the Colts in Odom, yeah. You know, a guy who I saw my guy.
He led the league, I think, right, in special teams tackles over the last 2 years, or first or second in the league in special teams tackles over the last couple of years. And according to George Odom on his own Twitter account, zero missed tackles as well. Mm.
Well, my guy, Darius Butler, and I probably won't find it because he kind of tweets a lot. But one thing he said was, oh, here we go. Found it. He said, meanwhile, what the F are you doing, Indy? How did we let George Odom walk? Excuse me. How did we let George Odom walk? One of the best teamers in the league and played well in spot duty at safety. I don't get it. Now, obviously, this is a guy who played for the Colts previously. Not sure if he played with Odom, but he's definitely tapped in and pays a lot of attention to what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts. And he wasn't too happy to see the Colts let Odom walk. He thought he was a pivotal part of what they're doing special teams, as well as have some spot duty ability to play in the secondary. So I know 49 fans say, oh, this is a safety that they were looking for and somebody that could fill a role with Tart. I'm not sure it's that. Now, maybe the 49ers are saying, you know what, maybe we could put a little bit more on his plate and he can be someone that starts in the secondary. I'm not sure that's what they're thinking. But to be able to play if need be, but also be a great special teamer, that's big. Because 49ers flipping field position, that's something that they need to get better at, especially without Raheem Mostert being able to run down there on punt.
Well, look, they better be good on special teams. They spent a fourth-round pick on a punter. They're paying Robbie Gould a lot as the kicker.
You gotta give that up.
They spent two. Hey, it's the truth, and I'll keep saying it. I've seen people in mock drafts giving them the dude out of, I think it's Arizona State, Matt Arrieta or whatever his name is. Yeah. I have not done a lot of kicker scouting, although I've seen highlights of this dude, and he's impressive. He kicks and punts. And people are throwing him in their mock drafts. It's like, dude, they just drafted a punter 3 years ago who's going to turn 30 years old already, by the way. Mitch Wisnowski, happy birthday coming up soon. He's going to be 30 years old before his rookie contract's up. That draft pick, I don't get it. And it was not ideal. Yeah, he's fine. But I'm not mad at Mitch Wisnowski. I just don't like the idea of drafting a punter in the fourth round. But they've put resources into special teams and now signing three special teamers in this offseason. So, you know, Brian Schneider, when he came over as new special teams coordinator, is like, give me some guys. And the 49ers are like, okay, here's some guys because we want to be really good on special teams. George Odom, 6'1", 201 pounds out of Central Arkansas in 2018. He was undrafted, ran a 4.5 flat. So he's got some height, weight, speed numbers that fit. I've seen some highlights of him on defense. To be honest with you, I'm not plugged into the special teams coverage units around the league as much as I should, apparently, because George Odom was not on my radar. And when I saw that name sign, I was like, you know what? I maybe have only heard that name twice in my life, and I don't even remember scouting him and looking at him in the 2018 draft as well. But it's funny because we were talking about Ray McLeod and how a lot of people didn't really, you know, weren't super impressed and worried that he was leaving Pittsburgh, even though he does show some ability and will help the 49ers. You know, I think the Niners want to solidify that a bad return unit for a while. Like, just let's just get a guy. And they found a guy and they just said, let's make sure we make this good. And we'll see what that contract ends up looking like. If it's an actual, you know, a backloaded contract and get out of it in a year if they don't like him or whatever. But I think he'll be a fine player for that. You can hand him the ball on offense and do some of the gadgety stuff too, if you want to not do all that with Debo Samuel all the time. So, you know, a fine player. So I'm not trashing the Ray McLeod signing or anything like that. I just thought it was interesting hearing those comments. But like almost 100% of fans and people I hear out of Indianapolis are super bummed about losing George Odom. So it's very different. So, you know, from that standpoint, it makes you really more confident in the George Odom signing than the Ray McLeod signing, because when it hurts the folks that he's leaving, that's how you know he was doing something good for that franchise, and the fans noticed, even for a special teamer. So that was good to see.
Yeah. And he's a former, I believe it was first team All Pro special teamer. So you know there, you know that holds a little bit of weight.
He's a dude.
How he's viewed around the league. Yeah,
George Odom. He is a dude, and the fact that they signed a safety. Do you think that changes their plan in the draft at all, Croc? Do you think they're gonna go, like, if I was reading tea leaves right now, I really feels like they're going to go O-line, maybe edge in the draft, and maybe at safety, they're going to let Odom and Tarvarius Moore sort of back up and battle for the scraps after Jimmy Ward, obviously a free safety, but I think they might be ready to just let Hufanga go and be that strong safety, that starting strong safety. And who knows, they might be doing the same thing with left guard and saying, okay, we draft you in the second round, Aaron Banks, it's your job.
I take them as guys that would do that. And they're not going to give anyone anything, but hey, you got to earn it. And you were drafted in the second round, Aaron Banks, for a reason. We believe in you and believe you have a certain type of capabilities. And now it's time for you to kind of put that on display. And I see them as guys that definitely had that conversation with him, but it's on him to take advantage of it.
All right, next, I want to talk about the contract details that have come out now about Charvarius Ward's contract, the $13.5-14 million contract that was signed. It looks a little bit different than that, and I really like the way this is structured for the 49ers. If we have time, we'll get to a couple of your Twitter questions as well. But you know what? It is tourney time. It's that time of year again, having so much fun watching all these college basketball games, the way these guys just play like animals. Like, it means so much to these dudes playing college football or college basketball in the tournament. It means so much to those people who have money wagered on it as well. And you can still get involved in the tourney at betonline.net from all the latest odds, contests, player props, even live betting at betonline.net, your number one source for all sports betting needs and information. Yeah, information. BetOnline remains the best spot for not only wagering, but sports scores and news this season as well. And it's not just all about basketball and football with those draft props and Super Bowl futures and where will Baker Mayfield play quarterback next? Where will Jimmy Garoppolo play quarterback next? BetOnline is your continued source for all the wagering information needs and even your favorite Vegas casino games. So get over to the website or use your mobile device today and find out about all the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Here are the contract details for the 49ers newly signed cornerback that they took away from the Kansas City Chiefs. Year one of the deal in 2022, very low base salary of only $3.8 million, which is usually the way teams do it, because they give a guy a signing bonus and then keep the first year low, and it keeps the salary cap hit low in year number one. Year number two, 2023 cap hit is $16.45 million. So it obviously jumps up there. And with the low first year salary, that means those year two and three salaries of the 3 year contract are going to be higher than what the annual average of, I think it was 13.5 or $14 million. And then in year three, 2024, it's $15.41 million. But here's the key with the way this thing is structured. So Ward has, I think it is $5 million guaranteed in 2023. So they could take a $5 million cap hit and cut him after year one if he turns out not to be the thing. But essentially, he's probably locked into those 2 years with those guarantees. But there are no guarantees in the third year of his contract. So when you put together his cap hits from year one and two, it actually ends up being a two-year, $10 million per year contract for the first 2 years with no dead money and no guarantees in the third year if the 49ers want to get out of it there. So 2 years, $10 million, that's a pretty good deal for someone like Charvarius Ward. And then if he's really playing well, year three, that $15.5 million salary that he would take in year three, that's a bargain if he's truly playing at a cornerback one level. And if not, then you lop off that $15 million salary and you go into 2024 and do something else with that extra cap space. But if not, you have a guy in his he'll still be in his 20s when he finishes this 3-year contract as well for $15 million if he is really playing well. So I love the way this is structured for the 49ers with the cap hits and the salary structure for Charvarius Ward.
And when you see that, so well, maybe that's why they didn't go after a J.C. Jackson. Or, you know, even the Stephon Gilmore, what they are going to be paying for him over the first 2 years is probably around what some of these guys are going to be getting for, I mean, really, they're just 1 year. All right. And then the, you know, no debt money after year three or after year two, excuse me, heading into year three, being able to just let him walk if it's not working out and you only get paid him $20 million and we'll only have a $5 million dead cap hit. I think that's, when people talk about Parag Morata and how he structures contracts and how he kind of gets over on players, I think that's what they're talking about. But if he is kind of more of what you expect him to be and he does well, what people at the very least hope he is going to be, then, yeah, that's still. Because if you look at some of the other contracts, especially the top guys, dollar-wise, and with the cap going up, I mean, he's being paid – kind of middle of the pack as in the sense of like the top 32 guys in the league.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So now it's just up to him to earn that. Did you see, 15 and a half in year three?
Did you see Richard Sherman's comments on it on J.C. Jackson's contract?
Oh, he was upset by how little he got. He thought he got too little.
Well, yes and no.
He thought he should have reset the market, right? He said something like, how's a guy with 17 interceptions over the last 2 years not resetting the market at cornerback?
But see, that's not what he's getting at, Peacock.
What's he getting at?
What he's getting at is people gave him a hard time for negotiating his own contract because he doesn't have an agent. And people are saying, oh, well, the agents, they know that they're better. They do this, they do that. You should let a lawyer, agent do the job. And what he's saying is, well, if these agents are so good, how does a guy who has 20 interceptions or whatever in the last couple of years not reset the market at the cornerback position when he's a free agent in his mid-20s? How does that happen? Why isn't there any outrage about the agent that did that deal? So that was – it really was a shot more so at agents, and that's why he tagged Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, who gave Richard Sherman a hard time.
Yeah, negotiating his own contract, that he didn't do a good job negotiating contract. It's funny because PFT, his response was he definitely would have got more, or he definitely wouldn't have got more if he represented himself or something like that. I don't know. But it was a funny back and forth with those two. But you know what's funny is I didn't even put that together when I saw that tweet from him because I underestimated Richard Sherman's saltiness. And
he definitely underestimated it. He's salty about it. And he takes me as someone who has like a list of everyone who said anything bad about him structuring his own contract. And one by one, he's going to get at him. That's what I believe. He takes me as that guy.
Is it Billy Madison where the dude's like putting on lipstick and he's like crossing off names. And then Billy Madison calls him up one day. He's like, hey, sorry about all the stuff I said with you back then. He's like, okay. And takes him off the list.
Yeah, takes him off the list. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick note. Yeah. I want to bring this up about Ray McLeod, and I forgot, but he was a former 4-star running back coming out of high school into college. And so you can start to see where some of the gadgety stuff that maybe Kyle Shanahan saw him running with the ball and was like, okay, maybe I can use some of the things with him. You put him on the field with Debo, move guys around. All of a sudden, Debo's a receiver. You put Ray in the backfield. Vice versa. So there might be some of that on the way, a package player, at least for Ray McLeod. But he was a 4-star running back in high school. As a senior in high school, he rushed for almost 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns in his high school career. He had almost 6,000 rushing yards and 58 touchdowns. I think all but one of his catches were in the slot last year. So, yeah, that's where you package him in, is you put him in. He's your little slot guy. You've got Juwan Jennings as your big slot guy, maybe, when you're going three wide, move him around, do some things like that. But, yeah. So,
and with the 49ers, maybe it's as simple as him being a fifth option.
Yeah, fifth receiver.
Debo, Kittle, Ayuk. Well, not a fifth receiver, just fifth option. Because you got Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, Jennings, and then the fifth guy, McCloud.
Yeah, and then probably even behind, maybe if they draft the guy, you know, he might not even be that high on the pecking order. He could be the sixth guy or the seventh guy behind the running backs too. But, you know, someone that they can utilize, they know how they could utilize him on offense, do a couple things. But it's all about the return game. If he never played offense at all, I think the 49ers would assign him just to be a return guy. That's the vibe I get from this sign. I want to go after
Jakeem Grant. Go after Jakeem Grant then.
I think they were going. I think they probably talked with Jakeem Grant because I think it happened like back to back, right? Jakeem Grant went, and then like it was either later on that day, maybe it was the next day, then the Niners signed, and Grant went for more money. So, but that's the, you know, that's what they're looking for. Yeah. Poor man's Jakeem Grant is what they're trying to get. Steve wants to know, why isn't there more talk about Cordarrelle Patterson to the 49ers? And there was a lot of folks that were asking this question because they saw a similar contract for what Cordarrelle Patterson signed, and Cordarrelle Patterson himself was like, hey man, this is where I wanted to be, so maybe I took a little bit less. He said that on Twitter, because a lot of fans saw how little Cordarrelle Patterson signed for, and they're like, well, here's your guy that can return kicks for you and be, you know, Debo part two in that offense. That'd be double trouble. Any thoughts there on the 49ers not going after Cordarrelle Patterson?
Again, I think the special teams aspect of it would be the most beneficial part for 49ers. Now, do you want a Debo 2.0 in your offense? Like, what, like, you know, having a Debo Samuel is beneficial because, you know, when he steps on the field, is he going to be at running back? Is he going to be at receiver? All right. But if you see Cordarrelle Patterson and Debo on the field at the same time, how much different does that change what you have to do defensively? You know, so I think it's kind of a wash, or like almost defeats the purpose. You're better off just having a pure running back there, you know, especially with Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he's, unless he's going to play receiver as well, which he has, I mean, with Falcons, is like, he was a running back just wearing number 84.
Yeah. What I would say, and I think I actually go back to my guy Williamson on the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. He said this about, I can't remember who it was, but he said that it would be beneficial for the 49ers essentially to have a reverse Debo who, like, so let's say you have a running back and a wide receiver on the field. There's somebody playing 100% of wide receiver snaps and somebody playing 100% of running back snaps, but it could be the same players swapped. So Debo goes, plays running back. You've got the bizarro version of him that's the opposite, where he's mostly running back, a little bit receiver, and you could absolutely do that kind of flip and flop with Debo and Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that would be the value of it, where you put them on the field. They're both running back and they're both receiver. You have no idea how to treat them and no idea where they're going to line up. So it'd be like a perfect puzzle piece match of one guy's mostly running back, part-time receiver, other guy mostly receiver, part-time running back.
I feel like I think that's a lot. Like, that's
unnecessary. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Now, the biggest aspect, I mean, like, as far as helping the 49ers, it's his ability as a kickoff returner. He actually might be, and again, this is controversial because there's a guy named Devin Hester out there. But careful, there's a scenario where if someone says Cordarrelle Patterson, is the best kickoff returner in NFL history, when you start to dive into the numbers, you can actually make an argument for him. So the 49ers, by not going at him and at least having that and then being able to utilize the offensive aspect of what he does, which is good, I think that's what they miss out most, like that kick return ability. So you could have went, okay, McCloud, Patterson, all right, look, McCloud, you return punts. You be that kind of fifth receiver. And then Patterson, you return kickoff returns because you excel at that, one of the best ever. And still, we could utilize you at different ways on offense, but you definitely won't get the touches you got in Atlanta.
Yeah, and that's a big one for him. And even though he took less, he's going to, you know, have a bigger role with the Falcons. So I think
took less. Have you looked at the housing market in Atlanta?
It's a lot cheaper than California. I know that as someone who's looking for housing right now in California.
It's a lot cheaper. And my sister lives there in Atlanta. She lives in like this high riser, like the 30th floor with the panoramic view of like the city and pays like $1,700 a month. Everything's like super new, updated, everything. And it's like dirt cheap.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that kind of talk right now with what I'm going through. Getting outbid on like crazy. It is nuts over here. All right, we're out of time.
You got to move to the south. Hey, you got to move to Arkansas. You know, we could get a little podcast studio and we, you know, do our thing. And,
you got any room for that property?
You could build a house. You just let me know. I got you. Right. I got enough acres.
I want to be right next to the pond. You got room for the pond?
Next to the pond. You can even use my pool and the gym Oh, and the golf that we talked about.
Oh, there we go.
Come on. Send up our own golf course. Come on.
Golf Crocky. All right. I'm having fun looking at the videos and the pictures of that gym. It's coming together very quickly now with walls going up. Yeah. I'm excited for that and the frontline sports and all the action is going to be going on there. And you're going to have a little recording studio at the facility, right?
I'm hoping. We'll see. Okay. My office isn't going to be very big. I think it's like 5x5 or 6x6. Nothing too crazy. So we'll see if I can do something with it. I got my office at home and my house is literally – you know, less than 100 yards from the gym being built. So, like, it may be like 50 yards away. So, I don't know.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen. Thanks to Angry Donald for checking in and giving us his Steelers-biased scouting reports. For your second listen, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. By the way, I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show daily right here on the network. Croc and I back tomorrow. Right here, Locked On 49ers.